Thank you, Mickey, for that song, which fits so appropriately with the message which we're going to be sharing today. And I think it's interesting how God works things out. And it's interesting today that, first of all, it's Mother's Day, and we've been looking at Jeremiah, which we all know is not the world's most upbeat book. But this message today, or this passage today, really relates that whole theme that Mickey just sang about choose life. And so would you bow your heads and your hearts with me as we just open this time of looking into God's Word with prayer. Father, we want to be people that choose life. Lord, there are so many things around us that can take us away from that task, from that which you have called us to. Father, we know it's very easy to wrap ourselves up into stuff and things and all sorts of good things, Lord, but that sometimes lead us away from just that whole area of choosing life each and every moment of each and every day. Father, we realize we are people that need to work. We need to hold jobs. We need to do a whole pile of things in life. But Lord, may we never become too busy to choose life on a daily basis. May we never become too busy to not seek your face, to not hear from you, to not allow your word to speak deeply into our hearts. And Father, I just pray that in my weakness today, that you would speak, Lord, to each of our hearts this Mother's Day. Father, not just to the mothers, but to all of us, to children, to youth, to dads and moms and grandmas and people that are single, would you speak to each of our hearts today so that we can more aptly, more ably choose life? I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to look, and I'm going to be seated today because it'll get me lower down. I don't know how you guys sit up there. It's got to be really hot because it's hot here. I know that, well, I'm thankful for that, first of all. I don't think we had as many hot days, or we've had as many hot days last year as we have this year already, and we're nowhere near summer, so that's a good sign. But I want to read this passage to you and then look at this whole subject of choosing life. Jeremiah chapter 21, and we're just going to look at verses 1 through 8 today. Jeremiah 21, verses 1 to 8. The word came to Jeremiah from the Lord when King Zedekiah sent to him Pashur, son of Malchijah, I had it down earlier, but it left me, and the priest Zephaniah, son of Maaseiah. I'm not sure how that's pronounced. They said, "Inquire now of the Lord for us, because Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, is attacking us. Perhaps the Lord will perform wonders for us as in times past, so that he will withdraw from us." But Jeremiah answered them, "Tell Zedekiah, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I am about to turn against you the weapons of war that are in your hands, which you are using to fight the king of Babylon and the Babylonians who are outside the wall besieging you. And I will gather them outside this city. I myself will fight against you with an outstretched hand and a mighty arm, in anger and fury and great wrath. I will strike down those who live in this city, both men and animals, and they will die of a terrible plague. After that, declares the Lord, I will hand over Zedekiah, king of Judah, his officials, and the people in this city who survived the plague, sword, and famine, to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and to your enemies who seek their lives. He will put them to the sword, and he will show them no mercy or pity or compassion. Furthermore, tell the people This is what the Lord says. See, I am setting before you the way of life and the way of death. You know, as Ruth and I were recovering from the day yesterday, I was working out in the yard all day, and Ruth was working at the hospital for a bit, and we came back, and I did my Mother's Day thing of changing the garden for her, making it bigger, and making a new garden. And so, because our kids aren't around, we usually get cards often, or Ruth usually gets cards often beforehand. We saw two of the kids last week, so they shared cards with her. But at this stage of life, we don't often see the kids for Mother's Day, and she gets phone calls and all of that. But the last couple of days have been pretty busy and physically exhausting for me. I'm not used to lugging 6x6s around and stuff like that, and yesterday my arms felt like they were stretched. So we were sitting down about 9:30, just relaxing a wee bit. Ruth was falling asleep, and I received a phone call from Tony and Linda Vanson, and they shared with me in shock, really, because they had just heard the news as well that Brenda had passed away yesterday, a massive heart attack, returning from Calgary. And I didn't know what to say. I had no words. They had no words. And I think all of us were in a state of shock. And I phoned Steve about 10 o'clock, and he had some friends over there, and I'm not sure what time he had gotten home, but just to say, Steve, we're here for you, and we want to help whatever way we can. Just let us know, and let's talk later, that type of thing. But obviously, he was in a state of shock as well at that point in the day, and probably still is. But as I thought about that, and kind of went through one of those sleepless nights, saying, Lord, you've given me a message today. I know that this message relates partly to this, but Father, you speak to the people. I'm in no way, shape, or form ready to speak to the people and share this message, choose life. Sometimes we get things in our lives that happen, and it kind of wipes us out. It puts us aside. It puts us down. And that's the way I felt last night, about 10 o'clock till... Well, tried to go to bed till about 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, up and down, praying, reading, that type of thing. And I know that many of us have those type of days. But I really do believe that this message pertains to us today. When we look at Zedekiah in this passage, who was the king at that particular time, and remember, this is about 586 BC that this was happening. So 2,600 years ago, Zedekiah was the last of the kings of Judah at this time. And through his reign, Zedekiah was notorious for undermining Jeremiah's ministry. We know that Jeremiah was the true prophet of that day. There were many other false prophets. And Zedekiah was not too kind to Jeremiah and not too with him in terms of what he was saying to the people. It's interesting, this past week, I think of politics and some of the things that happened in the news in the U.S. that we're well aware of in terms of Obama and his stance and his proclamation and whatnot. We often talk and stand around or sit around and talk about politics. I imagine it wasn't very different at this time and day and hour that was happening right here in the book of Jeremiah. Things were so bad for Judah that Zedekiah now had to come to the place where he was asking for help, asking God for help through the prophet Jeremiah. The Babylonians are camped outside the Jerusalem walls, ready to lay siege on that great city. And so Zedekiah sends out two priests, Zephaniah and Pashur, to request that Jeremiah intercede on behalf of the nation. Folks, the handwriting was on the wall at this particular time. Here's a king who tried to destroy Jeremiah's ministry, yet now we see this guy basically bowing down and saying he'll do anything to reverse the nation's fortune, including seeking the help of a prophet who he despised at that particular time. Have you ever noticed that we as people will try every available option before finally listening to God's word, God's voice? We wait around till everything around us crumbles sometimes before giving in to God. It's human nature, and sometimes we use that excuse. It's human nature, and I did this, and I guess that's a bit of an out for us sometimes. Our finances, our marriages, our children, our children's problems, our sickness and illnesses in life, issues and calamities that we're called to go through, depression, trials. Sometimes in these situations, we cry out to every available thing, logical form, thing that this earth offers before we cry out to God. And it seems that people always turn to God when everything else fails. The fact that Zedekiah turns to Jeremiah indicates that he believes that Jeremiah is a prophet of God, or at least he does now. Zedekiah understands that a prophet's role is to pray for God's people. But his plea comes a little too late. Friends, maybe if you and I sought God and looked for his perspective right from the beginning, then we wouldn't have to go through all the stuff that we do. And I know I've shared that message before, and yet it just seems like it's always relevant to me. And it always speaks to me about my humanness and my lack of being able to follow God the way I should. And I'm sure that some of you go through those same feelings. There's a lesson for each of us here today. We can't just sit around and wait till the very end as a last resort and expect that God's going to act through and in every circumstance we go through. For example, and I didn't go very far on this one, folks, we could look at all kinds of New Testament verses and Old Testament verses that speak to this. But I just want to look at a couple of verses in James, the book of James. And just looking at a few basic things in our lives, some of those things I related, marriages, sickness, health, and things like that. James in 5:14 tells us pretty clearly that when we are sick, we're not to try every other means first and then go to God. It says that we're to call the elders first. And ask them to pray. It's not to be our last resort. It's to be our first resort. And yet, how many times do we do that in life? How many times do we trivialize it and say, oh, it's just a little injury, or it's just this, or it's just that. I don't need to go to the elders. I'll just, choose the medical means or choose this way or that way and won't bother the elders. But I think James is pretty clear. When we're sick, go to the elders first, not last. When we're in trouble, verse before, James 5:13 says, if any of us is in trouble, he should pray. Well, friends, I know that when I'm in trouble, when I'm going through stuff, and yesterday was an example of some stuff that I went through in just back and forth with my kids and some things that were happening that we're trying to put together, where I didn't call out to God in this particular situation. And all of a sudden, the emails were flowing back and forth, and there was some negativity and all kinds of stuff going on. And I look back, and I sure didn't pray about it. And is it any wonder that I found myself in the place I was in? When we lack wisdom, James chapter 1, verse 5 says, if any of us lack wisdom, he should ask of God who gives liberally. Well, how often do we seek the wisdom around us? And it's all good. It's good to seek the wisdom of our friends, our believing friends, and those who know something about finances and different things. But shouldn't we be going to God first? Because the Bible says that he gives us wisdom, his wisdom, liberally. And I think sometimes we don't get that wisdom liberally in some of the other methods. Friends, so often God is way down our list of options. We try everything else first. We depend on our own logic instead of God's principles. I just want to read to you again in James chapter 4, verses 6 to 10, and just a couple of verses that speak about that, speak about the kind of attitude we need to have. But he gives us, you and I as Christ followers, more grace. That is why Scripture says God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we were in Invermere to do Diana, formerly Zelaski's wedding, and Prestigecki is her new name. And it took me a while to get that one correct. It didn't look like it sounded. But, you know, it's interesting. When we were there, there's a little Bible bookstore in that community that's closing down. And so we always go in there when we're there. And you know, they used to have lots of CDs. Now there's nothing. Well, in fact, they used to have lots of everything. And now there's nothing because they're selling out completely. They can't compete with the online stuff and parables and stuff like that. So my wife's dad was just celebrating his 91st birthday, or just did, and so we thought, we had sent a card and whatnot, but we thought we would go there and look in there, and everything was 70% off. So we found a beautiful little cup. He likes cups with sayings on it, and it had the word grace on it, a Bible verse as well on the topic of grace. And then we found a book, a devotional book by Chuck Swindoll, on the topic of grace. And we thought, you know, how appropriate. I mean, Grandpa can't perhaps read the books like he used to, the theology books and things like that, or at least not for a long time. But Ruth and I know that he still reads actively. And he'll try to plod through different books. And he does do devotional things about 3 or 4 times a day. So we thought, how appropriate. God's grace, can we give this little, turned out to be about $3 altogether for these 2 little gifts. Would have been 20 or 25 beforehand. But you know, we need to humble ourselves before the Lord. We need God's grace in our lives. And the fact that we're humbling ourselves shows that we know that we need God's grace. We can't do it on our own. We shouldn't explore every other option first. God's the one who will sustain us. Well, friends, I think it's pretty obvious the error of Judah here is that they tried every other option before God. Christians, let's not allow this to be our error in life. In chapter 21, verses 3 to 7, we're given sort of a very brief rundown on what was happening to Judah because they refused to put God first. And it basically said that Babylon is going to crush Judah. And Judah was so far off course in knowing God that their fighting this great nation would fail. God tells Judah outright in this passage, you guys are going to be defeated. Not because God has something against them, but because they rejected him completely, repeatedly. And friends, you and I, as we know, dig ourselves sometimes some pretty deep holes when we ignore God and reject him repeatedly. I want to share a story that goes back to the early 1980s. I think you all know that my wife and Kyle's mom and another gal named Ruth all went to BCIT together and trained to be nurses. And this other Ruth, her name is Ruth Friesen, she's pastor's kid, and her husband was a singer. He's a barber as well. And they lived in Surrey, and we used to get together with them the odd time. She was a nurse in Surrey General Hospital. Ruth was in, I believe, Langley at that time. But it was interesting. She shared the story with us of a guy who was bent on suicide at that particular time in his life. And apparently this guy had been going up and down, up and down. Should I do it? Should I not do it? Should I do it? Should I not do it? And friends, we're fooling ourselves if we think that people right here within these walls today haven't had those thoughts. They have, believe me. And I think it's very important for us to take some of these things seriously. But this guy that Ruth Friesen was nursing related the story. He was in Surrey General Hospital, that he had finally decided to do himself in. And he drank some cleaning solution at that time. I don't know what it was, what was in it. The only thing I know was that whatever he drank was so poisonous that after a few hours you couldn't reverse the process, and it would be something like a 3 to 5 day process for him to die. But the sad reality of that story is that this guy, as soon as he drank it, changed his mind. And he went to get help an hour or so away to do something about it, and they couldn't do anything. Ruth, my friend's Ruth, our friend Ruth, told us how she was nursing this guy at this time and watching him die a slow and painful death. They couldn't pump his stomach. They couldn't do anything. And it was too late. There was nothing that could be done. And I know that Ruth shared the gospel with that guy. I don't know if he accepted Christ, but he did die a painful death. You know, nothing could turn back what had taken place in this guy's life, just as nothing could turn back the fate of Judah. And the devastation of Judah was summarized with three words here: plague, sword, and famine. And those are pretty bleak words. But verse 8 brings to us a glimmer of hope in Jeremiah. God says to Jeremiah, "Furthermore, tell the people, this is what the Lord says. See, I am setting before you the way of life and the way of death." Now, to me, just the fact that he said that he's setting forth the way of life, suggests to me that there's something good, there's a good option that's taking place here. There was something, a choice that existed at this time. And basically, what he was saying, what Jeremiah was saying, and what God was saying was this: if you stay in Jerusalem and fight Babylon, you guys are surely going to die. But if you surrender to Babylon, you will live. You may not live the best life, and you're going to be under a foreign nation that might treat you pretty poorly, but you're going to live. You'll escape God's wrath with your life, at least presently. Well, this wasn't the option that Zedekiah wanted, but it would allow the people to live. And I want you to turn right now or follow it up on the screen. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, gives us some insights about this whole topic of choosing life. Deuteronomy chapter 30, beginning with verse 11. "Now what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It's not up in heaven so that you have to ask, 'Who will ascend into heaven and get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it?' Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask, 'Who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it?' No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you may obey it. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commands, decrees and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess." You know, it's interesting, this passage, because it does speak about this topic of life. And if you can remember anything about this message today, this Mother's Day message, I want you to understand what I'm about to say. Jeremiah 21 verse 8 says that God has set before each of you today, mothers, fathers, youth, and children, this whole concept: choose between the way of life and the way of death. And in essence, that's kind of a rhetorical question or a rhetorical concept. He's basically saying, choose life today. Choose life throughout your life. And that comes out very clearly here. We often see the concept of choosing life as difficult, but Deuteronomy tells us otherwise. God says and tells the people, "What I am commanding you today is not too difficult or beyond your reach." There's nothing, no problem in life, no calamity, no trial that you or I will ever go through that is too difficult for us to gain victory over that's put before us if we trust in the Lord and trust in His Word and follow His ways. Absolutely nothing can be too difficult or beyond our reach. The choice is not necessarily made up in heaven, and we're not going into the theological side of the other side of that today, but we have a choice in the matter, folks. We have a choice to choose life, so to speak. The choice to choose life is within us. We all have the choice to obey and live or to disobey and die, as Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 14 brings out. In fact, the choice to choose life is brought about again in verse 15. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. This choice is not a choice we just make once and for all. It's a choice we make on a daily basis. And Deuteronomy 30:16, we've talked about that many, many times, says that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and strength. We're to walk in God's ways outlined for us in this book, and we're to obey and keep God's commands, decrees, and laws found in this book, the Bible, that He has so graciously given us. The only way that the world will see the reality of Jesus in our lives is if we do this in our lives. We can claim to be Christians and go on another path and choose the other options and be so busy that our lives will not bear fruit, as the Bible talks about. If we choose life and follow Jesus, then we will live and increase, Scripture tells us, or the Old Testament tells us. What that means in New Testament terms is that we'll grow in maturity and bear fruit in our lives and in our ministries. And that's not just written to pastors. That's written to you, the priesthood of all believers. It's written to all of us. The Lord our God will bless us. He'll bless us spiritually, and He'll bless us with the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, and He'll supply all our needs in life. Not all our wants per se, but He'll supply all of our needs. Mums and dads and youth and children, choose life so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to His voice, and hold fast to Him. For the Lord is your life, and He will give you many years, as we just read in Deuteronomy. Friends, this Mother's Day, I invite you to choose life. You know, last week we got to spend three days, with Ruth's dad, who is 91, and Joel and Jen and our little one-year-old grandson came to be with us as well. And what a joy it was, and I wish we were able to do it more often. As I said to Ray Bott, I get jealous of him many, many times because he comes in holding Mickey's little daughter, or he's with the grandkids or whatever, and we don't have a lot of opportunities to do that. But Gavin is one, and Grandpa is 91, 90 years difference between them. Well, little Gavin, as we saw him and interacted with him, and as he was getting into everything in the house, he reminded me so much of Joel when he was that age, the happy wanderer. He was basically walking up a storm. He was into everything, every cupboard he was in to while he was there. He was taking out the pots and pans and banging them a bit. And I know Joel drums, so maybe he got that from him. I don't know. He sure didn't get it from me. But he was enjoying everything life had to offer at that end of the stick. And what a joy it was. Everything was new to Gavin. Well, Grandpa Manderson, 91, is still experiencing life to the max. And that's the thing that amazes us whenever we get together with him. He might sleep five times a day in the course of his day, but he keeps busy in between, and not just busy, busy stuff, but really doing things that will honor the Lord and use his talents and gifts. The possibility of death and being with Jesus for eternity excites him. And he related to me the story of one of his neighbors that comes over and shuts the gate every day. His name is Bruce, and how they interact on an ongoing basis and get together. And Bruce is just an amazing guy. But it's interesting because Bruce isn't a believer. And sometimes, as Grandpa Manderson told me, Bruce thinks that Grandpa Manderson is nuts sometimes. He's talking about heaven. He's talking about going to be with Jesus and how he's experiencing God's abundance right here and now. But it's even going to be better when he gets to heaven and is with Jesus. And I think of Brenda today in that way, as hard as it is, what has just happened. And many of us have a strong relationship with her. But moms and dads, ladies and gentlemen, that's the way I want to be all my life. I think I was that way as a one-year-old, from what I'm told. But I want to be like Grandpa. I've said that before. When I die, I want the exuberance of knowing and sharing Jesus never to cease in my life. I want to be like Dad Manderson when I hit 91. I hope I hit 91. I also want to enjoy everything that life has to offer and accept all the good things that God provides with the childlike faith that little Gavin has. This Mother's Day, I want to challenge each of you and say that my prayer for my kids and my grandkids is exactly the same as for each of you. Choose Jesus each and every day of your existence. God will bless you till the day you inherit the land you will enter in heaven. And friends, we know that. If we are believers, we know that he will bless us if we give ourselves to him. And it's going to be much better when we get to heaven. We're not going to have to go through things like we went through perhaps this day with Brenda passing away. But we know that it's going to be so much better. But we can enjoy it now, and what a blessing that is. This Mother's Day and every day of your life, choose Jesus every day of your existence. Let's just bow our heads and pray as the worship team comes forward.